person, yeah. Yeah, I see a very a crown of honor, a crown of authority that you are wearing. And there are robes like a king that you are wearing. But you are taking a broom, a mop in your hand and mopping the floor. You are unaware of what God has given you, or the devil has blinded you not to understand what God has clothed you with, what God has put on your head. And today I break that blindness in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That you will operate in the authority that the Lord has given you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. The discerning
Then,
of spirits. Discerning of spirits. That is where we are. Discerning of spirits. I told you some gifts here in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are I would say compulsorily required by believers. I am telling you, if God was not merciful and gracious to me, and I did not had a heart of receiving the gift of tongues, it would have been impossible for me to do ministry if I did not had the gift of tongues. We are living, I know people will come around and they will talk about men of God in the 17th century, men of God in the 18th century, men of God before that who never spoke in tongues, and but they preach the word, never talk about tongues and how they did ministry. God operates in times and season. The season we are living in, I told you, it's the season of warfare. We are very near to the coming of our Lord. And we are also very near to the revealing and the seating of the Antichrist. We are very near to the mark of the beast. We are very near. The devil knows that he has a short time. And in such a season of warfare, that's why God says that in the last days, he's talking about a specific season, you see. He's talking about the end days, end times, the last days. In those days, he says, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. So some gifts will be common among all believers. Prophesying will be common. Seeing dreams, seeing visions. That is where discernment also comes. We'll come to that. So there are many theologians who will fight on the thing. Oh, you know, all believers cannot speak in tongues. But I am bringing you the word of the Lord, the heart of the Lord. The Lord wants you to have certain gifts, all of you. If you desire for it, he will give it to you. Some of them speak, oh, I cannot have all the gifts. Have you even asked for it in the first place? Have you even desired for it? Those preachers and so-called teachers teaching people, you cannot, all believers cannot speak in tongues and this and that and all those things. Have you, that teacher, I want to ask them a question. Have you, first of all, asked the Lord for the gift of tongues? Have you earnestly desired from the Lord for the gift of tongues? And this is another gift that is required, I am telling you, by every believer, the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirit. So we saw this gift that comes after the gift of prophecy. We are done with prophecy. We are done with a little bit of the discerning of spirits. So what is the gift of the discerning of spirits that I told you last time? The gift of the discerning, the gift of the spirit of discernment, or the discerning of spirits functions on having knowledge and understanding of the word of God first, and secondly, spending hours with God in the secret place. Spending hours with God in the secret place. These two combined will help you to operate in the gift of discernment. These two combined. And I showed you from the Bible, Hebrews 5:14, how the Bible talks about that those who eat solid food by practice of use, they are able to exercise their senses, spiritual senses, towards discernment. Those who are eating solid food, that means those who go deep into the Word of God, spend time with the Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God, meditating on it, receiving from the Holy Spirit, are able to exercise their spiritual senses towards discernment. I told you last time that the great falling away in the body of Christ is coming because of no discernment. And there is no discernment because people have stopped meditating on the Word of God. So they are not able to see the events. They are seeing the events, but they are not able to evaluate what they are receiving, accepting, and celebrating with the Word of God. If you don't have any knowledge from the Word of God, you will not be able to discern. That is, the Lord told me, that is the first requirement of discernment. Are we together? So I have covered those things. I told you some main points. I told you discernment is the product of lack of deception is the product of lack of discernment, and lack of discernment is the product of wordlessness. When you don't understand God's word, when you don't understand God's word, you cannot discern. You cannot discern. Some people try to meditate on God's word, try to read God's word. No, you cannot read God's word without surrendering and submitting to the Lord, surrendering all your life, and then surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And you have to only depend on the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to explain you the word of God, to teach you the word of God. Anyways, I told you about all those things. Another thing I told you, from Ezekiel 44 verse 23, it says they should teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and between the good and the evil. So teaching ministry, the priest should teach the people, that the Lord is saying, the difference between the holy and the profane, the difference between the good and the evil. So for you to develop the gift of discernment, it just does not come and you start to discern everything. The gift of discernment has to be worked upon. There are so many, there are deeper things even in the demonic kingdom. If you want to understand the root causes of things happening in nations, let's not go to the nation. If you want to even understand the root cause of things happening in your life, in your family, you need discernment to go deep and understand the root cause. And the gift will not just come like that. The gift has to be nurtured. The gift of discernment has to be developed. It will only happen by meditating on the Word of God, by spending time with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit in the secret place, be filled with His wisdom, and being under a teaching ministry. A teaching ministry, being under a voice, being under the godly leadership, under a ministry which teaches the difference between the holy and profane, which teaches the difference between good and evil. Are we understanding? Which is a hallelujah. So many people are blind. Okay, don't take this as a critical or a criticizing statement, but the believers in the mega churches, how many of them would be there? 20,000, 25,000. They are all blind because the priest there don't teach between the difference between the good and evil, between the holy and profane. But rather that they reverse everything and teach it to people, or maybe they will not even come to the evil side. They will only talk about the good. So people are blind because they are not under a leadership, a godly leadership, which is a teaching ministry that is equipping people in discernment. Ezekiel 44 verse 23 talks about it. God says, you should teach my people. That's the stress of God. That's the emphasis of God about the teaching ministry. Hallelujah. And I told you that how the devil in our time and season, in this season, is reversing everything. The Antichrist doctrine is to reverse everything. In Daniel chapter number 7, I will not go into those things. If those are about the Antichrist, what he will do, I have taken those things in other sermons. Isaiah 5:20, where he says, woe to those who take good for evil and evil for good. a reversal doctrine is being applied. A reversal doctrine. We will come to some of those demonic doctrines, manipulative teachings. But let me tell you, let me show you another word. Now, let's go to tonight into the gift of discerning of spirits. So the first thing I want to start off with is the leaders over God's people should have discernment and should teach them the same. If you are a pastor, you should have discernment. I want to tell you, if you are someone who is leading a small group of people in prayer, if you are even a woman who is leading a small prayer meeting of other women, don't lead if you don't have discernment. Wait for God. Develop the gift of, don't stop leading. I know women who are leading prayer meetings. I know men who are leading ministries. No, zero discernment. You are leading the sheep into ditches. You are leading the sheep into darkness. Leadership should have discernment. The leaders should have discernment. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 13. Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and knowledgeable men, and made them heads over your leaders, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers for your tribe. So God wants us to choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable. All these are attributes of discernment. I will come to that. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are the attributes of discernment in the book of Proverbs chapter number 2. We will come to that afterwards. But that is what discerning leaders, those who are wise, knowledgeable, and understanding of the Lord, able to discern, those should be the leaders placed over God's people. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So a leader has to be discerning. There are so many churches who are getting corrupt because there is a pressure on the pastor to give leadership to people, not because they are discerning, but because they are in the church for a long time, maybe 25, 30 years old. And they come, we have been in the church long time, 25 years old, so give us something to do. They have grown in time. You know, they have gone through time, 25 years in length of time, but they have not grown from babes to matured Christians. And they are given leadership. I know churches who have done that. I know churches whose leadership completely changed and all carnal people were given leadership. And I saw those churches turning from a house of God into a club. The only things that happen in the church is brunch, lunch, dinner, parties, men's meeting, movies. It's a club. It's a club. No prayer meetings at all. I was in a church. I used to push prayer. I used to push the gifts of the Holy Spirit, teach the things of the Spirit. But the pastor, I don't know what spirit came in him. He did not like him, like that. And he said, all these things needs to be stopped. I said, well, if these things needs to be stopped, I have no place here. The anointing will not, I don't want to just sit in a church who do not want to speak in tongues, who do not want to pray. I don't want to sit in that congregation who do not want to pray. Long time back, at the age of 19, 20, when I started to minister. So I don't want to sit in that place. And then the pastors, after After that, I saw the pastor have selected leaders, and all that goes in that church is lunch and brunch and whatever, you know, youth meeting. In the youth meeting, there is no word. There is movies, there is parties, there is picnic, there is snacks, McDonald's and Burger King's. Oh, hallelujah. And all those stuff. And I remember before I came there and I warned, I rebuked the leadership there, because it's not because I want to be someone there, because God showed me a dream just before I was going to leave. God showed me a dream. In the dream, I saw myself teaching the word to the people in the church, but the people in the church were so distracted. You know why? Because there was a buffet system laid out on the table just beside where they were sitting, where we will do a meeting. And people were so distracted, and many of them got up and started to eat those buffet. And I saw the pastor wearing a tank top and having a big utensil with oil in it, and he was frying snacks in it, and he was sweating. In the dream, I went to him, I said, and the pastor's wife was also putting all those snacks, and he was big utensil. You know what you call that? In India, they do that in the sweet shop. And with a big handle, whatever is that, he was frying. And I said, what you are doing? And he was not able to answer me. And then the Lord told me after that dream, he is feeding people with his own strength and with his own intelligence, the food that he wants to feed of the flesh. And people will go towards that here. People will go more towards that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding why those things are happening? Lack of discernment. Lack of discernment. The one who has discernment will tell people. And if people don't listen and align, leave that group. Leave that group who do not pray in tongues. Leave the group who don't at all pray. You have no purpose. You are a child of God. You are a warrior. You have no purpose in that gathering who don't even pray. Where the church is just a club. Just a club. Hallelujah. Any which ways, that is happening because of leaders who don't have discernment. Hallelujah. If I will never appoint leaders who have no discernment, because it's dangerous. It will change the house of God into a den of thieves. If we place leaders who have no discernment, leaders should have discernment, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God, which are the attributes of discernment. Okay, let me come to the next aspect of the discerning of spirits. The next aspect of the discerning of spirit is love not as the world does, but love in knowledge and in all discernment. Love not as the world does, but love in all knowledge and discernment. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. It says here, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more, but wait, in knowledge and all discernment. I pray, Apostle Paul is praying for Philippians, for the church of Philippians, in the Philippians. He's saying that I pray this, that your love, that you love, okay? You may love, and your love may abound still more and more, but that love should be in what? In knowledge, in all discernment. This is a very important topic I am going to speak tonight. Because the love of Christ is manipulated. Oh, we need to love everyone. We need to care for everyone. But listen, you cannot love people You cannot show love to people. You cannot give love to people as the world does, as the flesh does, as the emotion does. The Bible says you got to love people as Christ loved you. So first of all, you got to understand how Christ loves you. How what? Christ loves you. Stay with me. Everyone say, I need to love in all discernment. Everyone confess that first. I need to love in all discernment.
I need to love in all discernment.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Because this is, remember I told you about the reversal thing, devil reverse is good for evil, evil for good. This is a part of the reversal doctrine. Love everyone. I have heard people saying, Lord, let the whole world, everyone in the world go to heaven and be saved. Don't pray prayers which are not biblical. Don't pray those prayers. Don't pray something that is never going to happen. Yes, that's not never going to happen. I know the Bible. I know that God says that he does not delight in the perishing of the soul. But that's why he gives watchmen to warn them. And people will not listen. And everyone cannot go to heaven. That prayer will never be answered. That prayer is a prayer in the flesh. And I don't want to offend anyone praying that prayer. But I'm telling you the truth. That prayer that you are praying creates zero impact upon the enemy. Zero impact. Because you are not praying in the spirit. And you are not praying by the scripture. Zero impact. There are prayers that shakes the kingdom of the enemy. Those are prayers that are done in the spirit and done with the understanding that the Holy Spirit gives us. But there are prayers that the devil is not bothered about. You pray whole night, the devil will not even disturb you. You will go on praying. He is not bothered about all those prayers because you are praying in the flesh. Any which ways, we have to love in all discernment. First of all, we got to understand that Christians cannot love as the world loves through emotionalism. Oh, I am feeling sorry. I want to do this. And all those things. But we have to love as first Christ loved us. So a Christian who never understand, who never has a true relationship with Christ, can never love people with the love of Christ. First, you have to understand how Christ loves you. How Christ loves you. Let me give you that scripture first. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Verse number 16 to 21. John, the Gospel of John chapter number 3. Verse number 16 to 21. For God so... Oh, no, not that one. We will come to that afterwards, but let me come first to John 13, verse number 34. Gospel of John, the same book, John chapter number 13, verse number 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as what? I have loved you, that you also love one another. That is the commandment. But people only stress, we have to love. Why? Because Christ told us love everyone. Love, love, love. No, the commandment is love others as what? I have loved you. I have loved you. How did Jesus love Peter? Jesus did not put his hand in all the things that Peter was doing. Once Peter said, Master, you will not go to the cross. No, I will not allow you to go to the cross. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. For you are mindful about the things of men, but not about the things of God. That is love. That is love. But no, we cannot speak to people like that. We have to love them. That is not the love of Christ with which you are loving people. Are we understanding something? Let me tell you one thing. Let me simplify and tell you what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is you have to love others as Christ has loved you. So for loving others, first you have to understand how Christ treats you, how Jesus loves you. Now, for example, if you are going and standing with a bunch of smokers and speaking and joking around filthy jokes with them, Jesus will not stand there and tell you, I love you, my daughter, I love you, my son. But what will he will not even leave you completely, but his presence will not be there with you. He will leave that place. He will leave that place when you are into something that is not of Jesus, that is not as per the word, that is the love of Jesus. Listen to me. So you will say, oh, I love my children because God has told me love everyone. I love my husband. But what when your children are you know that they are doing adultery, what you tell them, I love you, but I am not taking part in what you are doing here. I am not with you. This is against God. You are sinning against God. So I will not be with you in this decision. Your child says to you, you know what, mommy, I love this man and I don't want to marry now, but we want to live together. We want to live together in a house and we want to have a live-in relationship. Oh, yeah, daughter, I love you. Jesus told me to love you. The love of Christ will never let you take part in sin and evil. You understand that? When there is sin and evil, the love of Christ will not participate in sin and evil. But the doctrine that is taught in the church today is the love that you have to love everyone by taking part and putting your hand and giving your approval into sin and evil. That is what the church is teaching. So love others as Christ loves you. Love of Christ does not approve of evil and sin. But we teach, the church is teaching today, to practice love that takes part and even approves and even promotes sin and evil. You understand that? You will see that a lot. You will see that a lot. I mean, I love, but I will not go into emotional loving, fleshy loving, where I am approving someone's sin and approving someone's evil doings in my love for them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? There are Christians around, they stop listening to me because they are saying, I am talking about what is happening in the world. I'm talking about the evil is happening, but you should not talk. We were also sinners. We also cry, God also waited for us, but we cannot support sin and evil in the name of love. That is the new age love. That is the demonic love. That is the love that entertains and supports and approves evil and sin. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Do you know that in one of the nations in Europe, they have removed the word, they are removing, I don't know they have removed or not, but they are in process of removing the word church and put, instead of church, put community, because some class of people are getting offended by church. So they don't want to offend the people. So they are removing church. That is the great falling away that is coming in the name of love. Are we understanding that? That is the great falling away that is coming in the name of loving people. Loving people, helping people. Oh, I want to love that person. Some people, yeah, if you love someone truly, pray for them. Don't go extra mile to do things here and there. I've seen people, oh, I love that homeless person. I have compassion. And you bring some homeless people to your home. You don't know, you are bringing spirits to your home. You are bringing some people who will never change because you don't have discernment. The doctrine of so-called love is deceiving you. Do we understand that? Okay. But Jesus said in the word of God, Jesus said, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me a drink. Read that scripture. I forgot, but read that scripture. It says, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, but you did not give me a drink. And then he says, all of these things that you will do for my brethren. Those who believe in Jesus. Those who are of the same household of faith. Any believer who is actually struggling, who puts his faith in Jesus, but the devil is troubling him genuinely, that believer wants to grow. And you ignore help, that means you did not help Jesus. That is the context of the scripture. Are we understanding? You are not the savior. Jesus is the savior. So we don't become the savior showing as if we will save the world. We will save all the homeless people. We will save all the drunkards on the street. We will save all the drug addicts. Don't act like that. You are not the savior. Hallelujah. False love. False love. False love. I know some Christians who bring drug addicts to their home. No. My ministry is to serve them. And they are taking drugs in your house. They are taking drugs. At the cost of saving them, you are manipulating your own altar. That was not the love of Christ. Do we understand that?
Hallelujah.
That is not the love of Christ. No, 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 no. When we tell them there was, I have ministered and supported and initiated, but I, you know what? I am not like that person that will tell, oh, you have to take my tag that I am your father. I laid the foundation. But I have helped pastors, evangelists to build many churches in many areas. But I'm never keep a record that I built many churches. I did this. I did that. No, I don't. I am not. I am a person who does not boast about all those stuff. But I was there with a person who wanted to build a church. So I was helping him in his local area. And I labored more than him. I labored there because I was doing God's work. And he was in this false love. And always, this guy used to talk about love, love, love. He used to take 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Oh, you have gifts, you have this. No, it means nothing. You need to have love. Love people, love people, love people, love people. And he himself did not understand how Christ loved him. But he used to always talk about love, 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 love. And the people used to come in the church, but that church got demolished. I mean, spiritually, the church stopped because zero people started to come because of this person's problems, this pastor's attitude. And there was a person that was coming to the church. The boy was crippled. And he came in one of the so-called crusade. There I met the family and I prayed for the boy. When I prayed for the boy, the mother had a vision and she saw the boy standing up and opening the fridge and walking around in the house. And the boy was not completely healed, but the mother saw a vision and the legs and the hands of the boy were loosened, but not completely healed. I told the family, the boy will be healed when you put your faith and you leave idolatry. Then the boy will be healed. But they never did so. They wait for 2 days, oh, when it will happen. And then they say, why it is not happening? Why it is not happening? And this pastor used to entertain them. He used to tell me, oh, you know what? We need to be patient. We need to be loving. We should not tell them this. We should not tell them that. False love. At last, they went to idol worship and they killed the boy. They said the boy is dead but they killed the boy. False love can destroy people. Leaders cannot have this kind of false love. Love in all discernment. Love in all discernment. Okay, now come with me to John chapter number 3. Come with me to John chapter number 3. Verse number. This is the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But unfortunately, I'm telling you, most of the Christians don't understand the scripture. And they don't know the full meaning of the scripture, of the love of Christ. So are we on John chapter number 3, verse number 16 until 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So what I want to say to you is, God offers his love for all. He offers his love for all through his Son. But only those who believe in his Son are saved, receive his love. But those who reject the love, those who reject Christ, those who reject his word, his doctrine, are condemned, not because God condemns them, because they chose by themselves to be condemned. That's how the love of God operates. God is love, and he offers love for everyone, but not all can receive from his love until and unless we receive. What did Jesus say? If you love me, what? Obey my commandments. Until we receive his commandments. So let's not be manipulated by this false love doctrine that God loves everyone. That's the Antichrist principle that is coming. That God, the head of the so-called Vatican, the church that is there in Vatican, are promoting demonic doctrines already. And that's why I saw one of the mainline churches, some of the mainline churches in the US, who have already, the pastor who is leading the church is from the community, the Pride community. Because they say, we need to promote this because Jesus loves everyone. But have you accepted the word of Jesus for you to receive his love? Are we understanding? That's why Apostle Paul prays for the church, and he says, I pray that your love will abound more and more in all knowledge and in all discernment. You have to love with discernment. Don't take upon yourself to love everyone, to show your care for everyone. Be discerning, and then you love. Are we understanding? This is a false doctrine, because if you say you need to love, but they are rejecting the word of God. Oh, we also rejected the word of God once upon a time, and they are also rejecting it, but we need to love them. That's wrong. That's wrong. If someone rejects the word of God and lives a life of sin and evil, God's love is offered to him or her, but God's love does not dwell in them because they did not receive the love. Are we understanding? So you don't take the obligation to love them and to do something for them. If you really care for them, and if you really love those people with the love of Christ, just pray for them and leave them. Do we understand that, people of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus says love, love, love. What Jesus said, love, love, love. He went into the temple. My Jesus went into the temple, made a whip, and whipped people who were selling doves, who were selling, exchanging money in the temple. That is my Jesus. My Jesus told the Pharisees, you are brood of vipers. You are hypocrites. You are blind people leading the blind. That is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. That is the love of Christ that does not take part in evil, rather exposes evil. Are we understanding that? Many people will deceive you with 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love is... Oh, let me also come to that scripture. People are taking scripture, twisting scripture, and because we don't have depth in the understanding of the word, we are deceived and we are not able to discern. Let's go to that scripture. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. What Apostle Paul writes about love. Let's start from verse number 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Okay, let me start off from verse number 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So he's saying, though I give my goods to the poor, that means he's helping the poor, but it can happen that there is no love of Christ in it, even when you are helping the poor. We have to read the scripture properly. Before that, you can read, he says, do I speak with the tongues of angels and have not love? I have nothing and all those stuff about the gifts. So he says the love of Christ, but you got to understand how Jesus loves you. He will not entertain your evil. He will not entertain when you are sinning. His presence will leave you. But there are, don't believe in the Facebook pictures. Don't believe in the WhatsApp pictures where they create a picture and where and nowadays don't see picture Jesus's image Jesus. You know, they are sending a lot of Jesus where Jesus is opening his heart and there is opening his chest and there is a heart inside the chest and he says, I love you. Will you ignore me today? That is not Jesus. That is not how he says things. Okay, those are demonic pictures, I'm telling you. Because I was going through a documentary and it is an authentic documentary about a former Satanist. And he says that, you know, Satan can transform himself into men. He can transform. And he says the Jesus that comes on the pictures with long hair and all, that is how exactly Satan looks when he met Satan. So don't believe in, we don't know how Jesus looks. But we have to understand, we don't even have to understand how Jesus looked on earth. We have to see his eternity form in Revelation chapter number 1. He has the eyes of fire. That is how we have to look at him. He has the hairs as white as wool. That's it. We don't have to have the image of Jesus. But these people have these images all around the social media. And they will have images like someone is smoking, but Jesus is hugging the smoker and saying, I still love you, even though you sin. No, Jesus will not do that. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man who stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands not in the paths of the sinners, sits not in the seats of the scornful. So when you are smoking, when you are drinking alcohol, when you are committing adultery, Jesus is not with you, for your information. His love is not like that. His presence has left at that time when you are sinning. That's why the Spirit of Jesus is called the Holy Spirit. He will not take part in unholy things. Are we understanding? So love of Jesus does not take part in evil, does not take part in sin. Okay, coming back to the scripture, chapter number 13, 1 Corinthians. He talks about all those things, even though I bestow my goods to the poor, feed the poor, but have not love. So there can be you feeding the poor, giving to the poor, but you still don't have the love of Jesus in you. Then it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. He's explaining what is love suffers long and is kind. That means someone who is going on sinning, you're not taking part in the sin, but you are praying for that person. That is suffering long. Jesus said to the disciples, how long shall I bear with you, O faithless generation? So that is intercession. You can help the person with prayer without taking part and approving of that practice of sin. So that is what Apostle Paul is defining love as. Does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in what? Iniquity. Everyone say, love does not rejoice in iniquity.
Love does not rejoice in iniquity.
Many Christian parents, because especially in the West side, because the culture is so, many Christian parents approve and rejoice in the wrongdoings of their children. And from the beginning, you did not brought up your child in a manner that when he grows up, the Bible says he should fear the Lord, teaching him godly principle, teaching the child the Bible, teaching the child the ways of God, praying on him, praying on her, and installing and telling God, God, put your fear in my child. Let my child walk in your fear. And even as they grow up, people are rejoicing in their iniquity. People parents are, you love, and they say, no, 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 I was also like that in my young age. Now I am old, now I am following Christ. So I also, no, you cannot do that. You cannot rejoice and take part in the iniquity of other people, not even about children, but about other people. You cannot rejoice in iniquity. When I was working in the office, I took part in no office parties because they drank alcohol. And I said, I cannot come with you. I cannot. No, no, brother, you got to love. You are ministering in the church. You are also, you should be also with the outside people. Go with them. No, I cannot go with them because the love of Christ that I have does not rejoices in the iniquity of people. Do we understand that? This is what Paul is speaking, and we take it in a different sense. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things. Now that does not mean that we have to believe everything that people say. It is talking about believes all things that the word says. The true love believes all things that God says. Okay? Hallelujah. And a person who has true love has the capacity of bearing, you know, bearing and keeping quiet while evil is going on. You are not provoked easily. That is the true love of Christ dwelling in you. That is what is the scripture is saying. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You can endure even as the enemy presses. Perfect love casts out all fear. So there will be security in your heart. There will be endurance. Jesus endured the cross. Sinners and mockers, blasphemers slapped him. They beated him up, but he kept his mouth quiet. He did not speak a word. That is true love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? That is what, but many people take it. No, no, no. People will do whatever they want, but we should not speak. No, that is not the idea of the scripture. It says that when the devil attacks you, sometimes you have to endure and keep silent and wait on the Lord. That is endure all things. Do you understand that? That is hope all things. But people, I have seen pastors teaching, no, 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 we should bear all things that people are doing. Whatever they are sinning, we should believe them. Whatever they are saying, that is blindness. That is not true love. Do we understand that scripture? So, the love of Christ. Always understand that you need to love in all discernment. How you will love in all discernment? Simple. You have to understand the way Christ loves you, treats you. Then you will understand that if you are taking part in sin, he is not with you there. He leaves you there. And when you are sinning, as a father, he chastens you, he rebukes you, he punishes you, not to hell, but to correct you and bring you to the right path. Then when you understand the love of Christ for you, how he treats you, your relationship with him, then you will be able to love people properly. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Then you will be able to love people with the love of Christ. So I brought you here because discernment is needed in our love towards people. Discernment is needed in our love towards people. Hallelujah. There are some people, for a time God will say, okay, pray for them, minister to them. Then he will say, when he will see contradictions in the word, contradictions and rebellion, then he will say, no, don't waste your time. I will leave. It's not that, no, I don't love them, but I'm following the word of the Lord. My love is in the love of Christ. The way Christ loves me, I love people. I don't go extra mile to show my emotions and show my care and show this and that with a false love. Those love are fake love. Those kind of love is a fake love. You know, it accomplishes nothing. Hallelujah. So to end it all, the love of Christ, let me come again. The love of Christ does not approve of evil and sin. But we teach and practice love that takes part in and even approves and promotes sin and evil. That's the love of the world. Okay, so hallelujah. Let's go to the next area of discernment. Discernment of spirits by detecting the symptoms. Discernment of spirits by detecting symptoms, by detecting signs. What I'm speaking, that comes to a person when the person is under a teaching ministry, and when the person meditates on the word of God, sits with the Holy Spirit to understand the word of God, what will happen to you is you will start to detect symptoms and discern the person is not from God. Discern, like I took this series on gifts, when I took the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, I, at the end of those gifts, I told you the differentiation. How does the demonic gift operates and how does the godly gifts operate? So when you took that teaching and when you understood those teachings, when you studied it, heard it time and again, and then after having gained that understanding, you see a person and you see those symptoms I mentioned to you in that person, you will understand that this person, you will discern the spirit in the person. So that is discerning the spirit by looking at the symptoms, by looking at the characteristics which has developed and nurtured in you because you have meditated on God's word and you have been under a teaching ministry, under a voice that teaches discernment. Let me show you Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Verse number 17 to 24. Acts chapter number 8. Verse number 17 to 24. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Stop that. So Peter was not like, you know, brother, you know what? Yes. I will take the money and lay hands. And when you will ask, apostle, why did you do that? Because the gift of God, but because he is a new believer. Maybe the Holy Spirit, he did not get the Holy Spirit, but he was encouraged. No, we have to love people. You know, that is how people react nowadays. That is how pastors react. But Peter detected a symptom. And when he detected the symptom, he decided not to be polite towards the man. This man of God is very rude. He is not rude. He detected a symptom and he detected a spirit in Simon. What was the spirit? The spirit of sorcery. As soon as he said, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit and this is money, give me the gift, detected the symptom, and Peter's behavior changed towards the man. Until now, this man, are you understanding, people of God? If you are there, say hallelujah. Stay with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you, the Spirit of God is truly dwelling within you, you will never be polite and loving towards a sorcerer. When you detect that a sorcerer is a sorcerer, the fire of God will come and you will speak the word of God, either to make him repent or either to destroy. That is Christianity, people of God. That is Christianity. Hallelujah. Read your Bible carefully. Amen. See how apostles reacted when they detected a spirit of sorcery in a person through which he wanted to Christianize himself and become a servant of God. So this guy was with Philip the evangelist, who was preaching and teaching and ministering in Samaria. So this guy was a sorcerer. He deceived people. If you read the previous verses, I have already taken many times this scripture. He was a sorcerer. He used to deceive people with the power of the devil, of demons. But when Philip came, people started to believe in the gospel that Philip preached to them. And great signs, wonders, and miracles happened through the ministering of Philip in that city. And people started to follow Philip. So this sorcerers are trend followers. Whatever is trending, they will get into that. If Jesus is trending, they will become a Jesus follower. Are we understanding? If magic is trending, they will become a magician. You see how these celebrities in the church behave? The celebrity Christians, the celebrity singers. Oh, he became a Christian. But after 1 month, he again goes to Satan. Because he became a Christian because he follows the trend. They want to be trending. They want to be in the trend where people acknowledge them. So he was trying to get into the trend. But when he offered money to Peter, he said, take this money, lay hands on me, so I will get the Holy Spirit. Peter detected a symptom. These are the things that I used to teach you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit previously. How to detect the wrong spirit. Mammon is always attached to the wrong spirits. And when you detect the symptoms, don't go ahead with what they are asking. Rebuke them and get away from them. That is what Peter did. He said, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in the matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. How did Peter know that? Because he saw a symptom that he is buying things of God with money. He said, you don't have the right heart with God. Discernment comes with the knowledge of the Spirit, of the Word and the Spirit, that you have understood, that you have learned. And then when it is in you, any person showing up those symptoms, you can detect and know that this person is a sorcerer. This person is operating in the spirit of sorcery. He wants the Holy Spirit not to minister for God. He wants the Holy Spirit to feed his own belly. He wants the Holy Spirit to make himself famous again in the city of Samaria. He wants the Holy Spirit to establish another kingdom that will fight against the kingdom of God. We are not going to entertain such people whose God is their belly and who want to build their own empires. Peter said, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you. You have neither part nor portion. You have no part in this ministry. We will not take you in. That is how discernment operates. Hallelujah. Along with discernment, we see in this scripture, there is boldness. There is no pleasing of men. If you are a man pleaser, you cannot operate in discernment. You know that? If you want to receive, if you delight to receive appreciations from men, delight to please them, delight to when they see good things about you, you cannot operate in discernment. This is discernment. As soon as he detected a symptom, I am telling you, wherever you go, on the streets, in your family, in your family functions, in your church, when you meet with Christian people, when you meet with church people, if you detect symptoms like that, you need to exercise discernment and expose it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times I had to tell people, no, I cannot pray with you because you don't carry a spirit that I carry, the Spirit of God. A person who disagrees, how can two walk together unless they agree? So how can I pray with you if you don't even agree what I'm saying? No, so you are not agreeing, and you are not, it's not that you are not agreeing with me, you are not agreeing with the Spirit of God that is speaking, so I cannot pray. I have done that with people, because that is discernment. We detect immediately what spirit the person is carrying, what spirit the person is carrying. Hallelujah. Okay, then he says, repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned with bitterness and bound by iniquity. Peter is seeing something by discernment. You are poisoned. You are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. There is bitterness in your heart. What bitterness? He was jealous. He was jealous of Philip. He was jealous of these apostles because they took his prominence from the city. There is bitterness. There is iniquity. You want the gift of God. You want the gift of the Holy Spirit to come against God's kingdom. That's not going to happen. That is iniquity, bitterness. That's why you offer money to buy the gift. That's a symptom of sorcery spirit. That's a symptom of jealousy. that you force, you cannot force the gift of God to come upon you. You are forcing the gift of God to be received by you by giving money. That cannot happen. Okay, any which ways. Discernment that comes with time. Okay, discernment that comes by detecting the symptoms. Are we understanding? Then the next one is the important one I want to come upon. Discernment that comes with time and prayer, that is spending time in the presence of God. Now, we are coming to the next aspect of the definition of discernment. Okay, it's already time, but what was the definition of discernment I gave you? The gift of discernment functions on having knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, and secondly, spending a lot of time with God in the secret place. That is the second level of discernment, where the Holy Spirit gives you fire, where the Holy Spirit gives you the eyes of fire, where the Holy Spirit takes you deeper, where the Holy Spirit breaks the bars of iron, breaks the pangs of darkness, and takes you to the hidden locations where you will achieve discernment of things that no one knows. It comes with time. It will not come automatically. It will come with time. It will come with prayer. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? The Holy Spirit, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the Word is there, but there needs to be a penetration into the kingdom of darkness for you to discover things that you don't know. That is another level of discernment. That is another level of discernment. Hallelujah. I want to give you one example and then I want to end. So I was praying and then God allowed me to take this example. I was ministering to a woman who was a business woman or something she was doing in Mumbai, in the city of Mumbai, a prominent woman. And many things happened after I prayed. Many things happened in her life. But she was half here and half there, you know. And towards this woman, there was another woman, so-called Christian woman, that connected this woman to me. And I was praying for both of them, ministering to both of them. So, after ministering for three, four months, it was past 3-4 months, I knew them and I was ministering to them. God showed me a dream. And in the dream, I saw this Christian woman who connected me. And I saw this Christian woman waiting on the road, on the street. And this woman came, the another woman. And both of them said, let's go to this so-called wizard for answers. And let's meet him and get answers. And then they went, and then when they went, I came in between and stopped them. I said, why you are going to do? You know the Word of God, you know the thing. No, but we want to go to the wizard. That is what the dream I saw. And what I understood by walking with the Holy Spirit is, what we see is not the truth. How people behave with us is not the truth. What they tell us is not the truth. But what God showed us about them is the truth. That is what I understood. So if the person ignores and rejects, no, nothing is like that. So I went to that Christian woman. I told her directly, I saw you doing this. No, it's not like that. Wait. I will call the other woman and ask her if she went. I did not go. If she went. And I am not able to contact her. I will contact her later. And then she contacted me later and tell, I spoke with my friend, with that woman, and I asked her whether you have gone. But she said, no, I tried to insist. No. Brother Rahul has seen this. No, she said, no, she has never gone. And because I was, that is the time, that is years back, I thought these people are saying true, the right thing. Maybe I saw something wrong. But later, after a month, I saw the symptoms of the spirit of Jezebel and of idol worship in this woman, behaving weirdly. And when that started to happen, the Lord taught me, what I show you about people, that is true. Don't go on what they say to you. Hallelujah. They may reject. Oh, no, we did not do it. We did not do that. Don't believe what they say to you. You got to believe. So I tell this to people always. If God showed you something about a person, that is the right thing, even though the person rejects it. If God showed you, if it came from God, you know, and you know it came from God, you prayed about it and the Holy Spirit gave you confirmation. It came from God. That is the right thing. So that thing came with time, I am telling you. Some things will come with time. Maybe you are walking with a sorcerer, but you don't know that person is a sorcerer. But when you are close with the Lord and spend time with him, with time, God will start to expose the person. That is an example I gave you. You know, I was going through the documentary of the Satanist, and he says, Lucifer, the ministry that is damaging Lucifer's kingdom, Lucifer ensures that he sends fake Christians to the man of God around them that the man of God cannot recognize. He took the name of a prominent ministry, worldwide ministry, where Satan was keeping his people in the leadership of that man of God, and the man of God did not know. The man of God can only know when he spends time with God. I am telling you, even in this ministry, there are people, some people who left. And I knew before they would leave. I knew before they will act up, because God showed me some things about them. Because that is discernment, deep discernment. You don't know things. Let me even come to the point and the place that some, not I'm not talking about this meeting, but I'm talking about things that I have witnessed in ministry. Some parents did not even knew that their 13-year-old boy was a Satanist, started to practice witchcraft. They did not know. He was going to the Sunday school. He was going to the church. But the parents never knew. Oh, Rabasakatabara. So people in your own family can be agents of Satan. I'm telling you, these are true. These are things that I have encountered in ministry. They did not know. And sometimes if I tell them, they will not believe, what is he saying? But afterwards, they recognize, and then they say, oh God, what this pastor was saying was true. I don't blame the parents. Because no one has taught them discernment to the deepest level. If you will detect the witches in your own family, living with you in your own house, you will start to detect them. It will take time. You will go deeper with God. The more deeper realms of demonic and darkness will be exposed unto you. You will start understanding your family members, not how they behave in the natural, in the physical, not what they are in the natural, in the physical, but you will start having a look at your family members, how and who they are in the spiritual. And then you will be able to fight on the right grounds. Then,
amen.
Amen.
I don't want to come to examples, but I will come when I start. I am just giving you an introduction of the next discernment. People in my family, God started to expose those people, many of them, expose those people. And I started to understand, I need to break connections and I need to wage war against the demons that are operating through these people. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Discernment that comes with time.
Amen.
And spending time with God. That comes with time. And spending time with God. You need to go more and more deeper with God to understand these things, to understand the depths, to understand what is hidden in the depths of darkness. There is a verse in the Bible where it says, I will bring you the hidden treasures of darkness. I will break the gates of iron. That is what God means. There are so many things hidden in darkness that we don't know, and it will need discernment to discover those things. It will need discernment, and that discernment will come when you spend, if you are spending long hours with God, when you are spending days with God. Those things will pop up. Those things will come to you. Let me end there. And next meeting, I will continue on this one. There are some other few aspects of discernment, then I will wind up on discernment. But let us pray for discernment. Let us pray for discernment. Let us pray for discernment. Hallelujah. Let us be not blind in this time and season. I ask you, Lord, that you will remove blindness from the eyes of people, that they will be able to see. That they will be able to see. If you have discernment, you will detect the witches. If you have discernment, you will detect the sorcerers. You will have discernment. You will detect every evil that people have done behind the scene that does not come, oh God, Larabans, in front of the eyes of men. Oh, grant us discernment, Lord. Father, I come against every reversal doctrine, every false love manipulation that is being taught, Lord, and that has been practiced, Lord, where the love that they teach takes part, approves, and even promotes evil and sin. Let that be broken, Lord, and let your people love in all knowledge, in knowledge, in all discernment, Father. Oh, Rabba Kabo Tiyam Prabha, Lord, even as, Lord, let your people be good students of the word of God, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you have placed us under your voice that teaches us discernment. You have placed us under your voice that teaches us the difference between the holy and the profane. That, Lord, we will be able to detect symptoms in people. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, to discern spirits. Oh, to discern spirits. Oh, Father, even as we have this spiritual journey, and even as we travel towards the next session, Lord, of the discerning with time, I pray that you will grant us, Lord, mysteries to be unfolded, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to understand that aspect of discernment in the name of Jesus. And the people who are sitting here, that their eyes will become the eyes of fire. They will start to see, Lord. They will start to long for your presence, Lord. That they will start to long for discernment, Lord. Even as we come, Lord, hallelujah, 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 and move forward in this journey, Lord, of your word, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Razika Bato Rekediniyama, Embanokovo Riandaravanze, E Balato Rabandi Androvose Terebele Adrianto. Father, thank you once again. We give you the praise, honor, and glory for this time, Lord. We cover all your people, Lord. Hallelujah. And those who were not here, we cover all of us with the blood of Jesus, with the walls of fire, Lord, around them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.